Est-ce qu'il y a faute? Est-ce qu'il y a faute sur Bale? Il est passé de toute façon. Il résiste à la faute de Bartra.
La punt with Sam Norris.
Well, we're in a state of mourning on the Punt podcast. England are out of Euro 2016. The quarter-final lineup is set. Roy Hodgson has resigned and a new dawn beckons once more for the English national team. But we do still have eight teams that remain in the competition, still all to play for those sides, still involved in the Euros this year. We'll be taking a look ahead to the tournament winner markets, the top goalscorer markets on this edition, and also a little chat about the future of English football regarding the next permanent England manager market. So plenty to get through on this very solemn day. Sam Norris here, joined in the studio by Lee Phelps. How are you, Lee? Have you processed last night yet?
Yeah, I think I processed it pretty quickly, straight after the full-time really? Whistle. And I remembered that I should have not let myself get sucked in again. I think it's like, I don't know if it was 2004 maybe, the last time I got really, really enjoyed watching England. And then kind of ever since then, it's just been more and more disappointment. So yeah, it's no surprise. It was just the manner. But how do professional international footballers forget how to play football at half time? They weren't great in the first half, but
it was that bad, wasn't it?
It was all right in the first half, though. It wasn't terrible.
Yeah,
it's like they came out at half time after half time and had forgotten how to pass the football. They were running away from each other. Didn't want the ball. There was no one standing up. This is what put it in a nutshell for me. On Five Live on the morning of the game, Terry Butcher was on. Now, Terry Butcher, obviously, that famous picture of him with yeah. that headband on and the blood and all that sort of stuff. Mm. Proper old school footballer. And the presenter on Five Live said to Terry Butcher, I know you liked a rallying call when you were playing football. What would you say to the players if they're in the tunnel? And he said, I'd tell them to go out there, let Iceland know that they're in a massive game, get stuck in, and grind them into the dirt. And I thought that's like a little bit over the top. That's a bit old school, but 80s. There was not one of those players on the pitch last night who was even shouting at their teammates to get going. There was no one who was able or willing to grab the game by the scruff of the neck and say, here we go. Rooney looked lost. Rooney just... I don't know what happened to Rooney. It looked like that was the last time he'd ever played football to me.
Yeah.
And then he got subbed off with 5 minutes to go, 4 minutes to go. Why didn't he bring him off like with 20 minutes to go when he realised the guy couldn't put a pass together? Oh, man. Yeah. Weird. Kane was just... They were just... I mean, if you or I, Sam, were told to go and hit the ball into the box for England where Kane had the ball, we would chip the ball into the box.
Yeah.
I think we'd managed to do what we were
just
told.
Just try and cause a bit of confusion.
He hit it out of
it was
play.
Bad.
I was like, what? It was like someone had taken them over.
Yeah.
Maybe Brexit has upset them to such an extent that they just wanted to get home.
Yeah.
Be with their fellow countrymen. Or maybe they've not even thought about Brexit. And they've just been playing computer games the last week. And I don't know.
It really, really was that bad, though. It isn't.
They were
this
bullied
isn't
out
English
of it, like,
pessimism. It really, really was.
They were
bad
bullied by Iceland, weren't they? I mean, and Iceland, to be fair, obviously a good side. But yeah.
Wow.
Anywho.
Yes.
Still lots to bet on.
Yeah.
And we're all Welsh, aren't we?
Yeah, indeed. Well, indeed. We're all British together now, aren't we? The name Phelps
has some Welsh roots, so I'm going to become Welsh for a bit.
I'm going to desperately dig through my family tree and see if I can find a Welsh thing. Yeah, well, yeah, that'd be even better. I'm a little bit Greek, which is absolutely no help to me now. Still living off the 04 glory, though. Yeah, we've still got eight teams still involved in the competition. Here's the Euro 2016 tournament winner betting as we have it. France 11-4 favourites, Germany 3-1. Belgium at 4-1, Italy 11-2, Portugal 6-1, Poland 16s, 25s about Wales, and Iceland are 33-1. Obviously, much has been made of the fact that due to England and Spain's poor run in the qualifiers, we ended up with a really sort of top-heavy split. So we had a very, very difficult half, and another half that on paper looked fairly easy to get through. And there are a couple of interesting teams still at big prices who are in that half of the draw, the likes of Belgium at 4-1, Portugal and Poland, one of those pair guaranteed a semi-final spot at least. They're 6-1 and 16s. Are you looking towards that side of the draw, or are you sticking with the big guns, the France, the Germany, the Italy that are on the perceived tougher side of the draw.
I think you've got to look at the easier side of the draw, haven't you? Because, you know, Italy have already knocked out the European champions, yep, haven't they? Now they've got to play the world champions. It's very difficult to predict that match. Italy are a pretty big price, actually, in the quarterfinals to beat Germany.
And they haven't actually lost a knockout tournament game to Germany in their history, no, Italy.
Yeah. So it's hard to go for either Germany or Italy. I don't think anyone will be confidently predicting that one team or the other will win. Your second favourite, if it's Germany who lose in that game, the second favourites are out straight away. I think Iceland have probably gone too far now. I think, you know, the England victory was fantastic. But we have to be wary of not just writing them off like we did Leicester for most of the season.
Yeah.
They didn't half remind me of Leicester a little bit last night, looking at them in the kind of their all blue kit. And I just kind of watched them thinking, oh, they're so organised. I think France will probably just have a bit too much about them to... They won't do what England did and forget how to play football.
Mm.
So I think it's the end of the road for Iceland. So I think we can put a line through them. I think France will beat them. I think I'm probably going to go with Italy to get past Germany in that game. Although I do think the Germans maybe are going through the gears. If Germany can get into fifth gear in time for this game, then I think that that there'd be a decent bet to beat Italy. But... you know, Italy look really good. They look really solid, really comfortable and confident in the way they're playing. It's those other two games, as you mentioned, that interest me. Poland-Portugal, I mean, not an easy game to pick. 3-1 Poland out, by the way, who only drew that game with Switzerland from an absolute beautiful strike from Shaqiri, didn't they?
That was the first and only goal they've conceded in the tournament.
So they're not conceding many, and Portugal aren't scoring that many either. Are they? They've struggled. I know they had one game where they scored a few, didn't they, in that 3-3 draw. But other than that, they're not really ripping it up. That could go all the way. But I wonder if Poland have just got a little bit more about them than Portugal. I think Belgium will get past Wales. Without wanting to, if you look at all those prices, France 11-4, Germany 3-1. France are the justified favourites because you can't predict the Germany Italy game that easily.
Yeah.
Belgium are a good price at 4-1 because if they start to come into it, then very good. I just worry about Belgium. The same old thing with them is that we may get a really good performance one game and the next game it won't be anywhere near as good.
Because a lot of people will already be putting them in the final, won't they? They'll be thinking Wales now, the winner of Poland Portugal. The way we saw them dismantle Hungary, there'll be a lot of people who've already penciled Belgium in for a spot in the final, which makes 4-1, third of the odds place 1-2, a bet to nothing, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it does, yeah. I just wonder about, you know, I think Poland may well come through against Portugal, and I just wonder if they'll be, you know, I think they could maybe get, they'll get Belgium in the next round. And I think Poland are probably the value in that market at the minute. It's you know, you take your pick between Portugal and Poland, I think, because it's whoever comes out of that should get to the final. Because, you know, I know Belgium are decent, but I think Poland will stop them playing. And if they can get Lewandowski scoring, then, you know, then they could be in a really good situation. He's not done too well so far, has he? I know he scored his penalty. But other than that, you know, he hasn't scored a goal at the tournament. I'm going to go for... I think France are justified favourites. It's boring, but I've said that pretty much from the minute one. And I'll go as an outside shout. I'll go for Poland.
Okay,
16s, I think they are.
Yeah, they are. Poland 16-1.
I think you probably back that, like you said, 30 odds, just to get to the final.
Yeah.
I mean, we have got markets on name the finalists as well. So if you go in France Belgium, it's 3-1. France Portugal 4-1. My pick, France Poland, is 9-1. So that's one way of doing it.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. Let's move on to take a look at the top goal scorer betting now. Antoine Griezmann heads this market at 5-2. Cristiano Ronaldo 6-1. Gareth Bale 6-1. Mario Gomez 8-1. Romelu Lukaku is 8-1. Dimitri Payet 14s. And his bigger prices for the rest. Antoine Griezmann 3. Cristiano Ronaldo 2. Gareth Bale 3. They're the three protagonists in the market, if you like. Griezmann was, were fairly prominent in the betting pre-tournament. Are you looking at those towards the head of affairs?
Yeah. When I'm looking at the outrights, you're trying to whittle down and find out which ones you can kind of... Which teams are going to go the furthest, obviously.
Yeah.
I'm undecided on who wins out of Germany, Italy, so I'd have to put a line through their players at the moment. Not many of them are figuring too highly anyway. I don't see Graziano Pella scoring that many goals, even if Italy progressed right the way through to the final and win it. You look at Germany, you know, Mario Gomez, obviously, he keeps getting on the end of things. He's on 2 at the minute. But, so I'm not massively bothered about them.
There's a worry that they can so easily switch and play Goetze or Müller up top.
Yeah, exactly.
He isn't their main reliable player who you can hang your hat on and say he's going to start at least start every single game, get 90 minutes, a la Ronaldo.
Yeah, true. Ronaldo himself, 6-1. It's a big price for a player of his quality who can score two in a game quite easily. But I don't think Portugal go any further than the quarterfinals, so I think I'd rule that out. I don't think Wales go any further either. So unless Gareth Bale can score another one, and then you're in a good, strong position at 6-1. If he can score, you know, I suppose, you know, the same with Ronaldo. If he scores in this next game, then it changes things. But Bale's in a better position, obviously, because he's already got three goals. So if he can score a consolation goal in a game where I think they'll get beaten by Belgium, then that's 6-1 maybe worth a look. Just looking elsewhere, Romelu Lukaku, haven't really been impressed with him in the tournament. He's 8-1. And he, you know, he was taken off in the last game for Belgium, wasn't he? You come to the French players. You know, you look at, obviously, Antoine Griezmann, you mentioned, he was one of the favourites early on. 5-2. You know, three goals scored, and I think France are going all the way to the final. Mm. So he's obviously got more, you know, goals in him.
And he probably would have had another one if he wasn't sized down by Shane Duffy in the in the round of 16.
Dimitri Payet's got two goals at the minute. He's 14-1. Again, if they're going to the final, you know, he's a, you know, set piece specialist, a little bit like Harry Kane was for England. He tends to hit the target a little bit more often.
A little bit.
Payet, you know, quarter of the odds for placing the top three.
Yeah.
He's already in the top three.
Yeah.
The danger with this market, as ever, is that, you know,
You get dead heated out.
You get dead heated and your stake gets split. So it's a tricky market. But I think Payet, 14-1, is a nice little bet. If you don't want to take Griezmann, he needs to score, obviously, a couple more to give you any kind of chance of having the share. But they've still got, I think they've still got three games left. And I think he's had that kind of tournament where it wouldn't be a surprise if he's the man who's curling in a free kick to win the European Championships come the final. So I'm gonna as a little outside shout, I'm gonna stick with Payet, who I don't think his tournament's finished by a long shot yet. 14-1. Look, if they get on top of Iceland early and do what England should have done, which score early and get on top of them, Iceland will have to come out. The plan had to be for England to get an early goal against Iceland, and then Iceland having to, you know, get rid of their game plan and actually come at England. What they obviously did was concede after 30 seconds. France won't do that. If France get an early goal, they could win that game 3-0. And Iceland still go out, you know, as, you know, the heads held high. So Payet at 14-1 to be top scorer for me.
Okay, Dimitri Payet then 14-1 in that top goal scorer market, as Lee says. They're offering a little bit of value. And for the tournament winners, as you heard there, France 11-4 and Poland at 16-1. Now time to discuss the future of England. I caught up with Dave Kellner earlier to discuss the market regarding the next permanent England manager.
After England's embarrassing exit at the hands of the Icemen last night, Dave Kellner joined by Sam Norris to look at the market that everyone's talking about at the moment, the next permanent England manager, now that Roy Hodgson has departed from his role before he was kicked. Gareth Southgate is the 6-4 favourite to be next permanent England manager. Glenn Hoddle in the betting at 4-1. Alan Shearer 8-1. Eddie Howe is 8-1. Harry Redknapp 8-1. Alan Pardew 10-1. Gary Neville is 14. Sam Allardyce 16-1. And it's 20-1 and bigger the remainder. It is Dave Kellner with Sam Norris just to take a quick look at this market. Sam, first of all, very disappointing evening for England Football Club on Monday night, and England Football Club, the national side. I can't quite get over it. I was feeling not even angry last night, just deflated and disappointed.
Yeah, absolutely, bitterly disappointing night for all concerned with England. And you feel as though this one's going to take some getting over. Feels as though it's going to be weeks and months until we've quite fully recovered from last night's very, very poor showing. Once again, it has to be said, it simply wasn't good enough. Tactics second half, I think the players were as confused as the fans were watching it. And there was a period in that second half where England was struggling to complete a five-yard pass, and very, very disappointing. Obviously, the management position had become untenable, really, to be knocked out in the last 16 by a country the size and the status of Iceland, albeit they had a very good qualifying, and, you know, absolute fair play to Iceland. I don't think anyone can say they didn't deserve it last night. Roy Hodgson's position did become untenable. I think it was the right decision to go straight after the game. Pointless dragging it out, and us having a couple of days of, I say uncertainty, because I don't know that he would have gone.
Well, precisely, I don't know if you can resign when you've only got 2 weeks left on your contract. I don't know if you can do that, but he did. But obviously was never going to get a new contract from the FA. And that leaves us in the position of, I think, scratching around now for a suitable candidate to take the position. And Gareth Southgate has been very well back since this market opened, into 6-4. Doesn't inspire me. If it's Gareth Southgate, the next permanent England manager, I don't want a manager that's not had enough experience at club level.
Yeah,
managing the national side.
I agree. I think what it comes down to, if you're looking to bet in this market, you've of course got to try and second guess the FA for a start. Are they going to go with the safe option, which many people thought Roy Hodgson was? And the safe option probably would be Gareth Southgate, in that he's in the system already, manages the under-21s. It was a very successful campaign over the summer in the Toulon tournament for the youth, which I know different countries take varying degrees of seriousness towards the Toulon tournament. But it was our first victory in that tournament for a long time. The youngsters seem to be playing well, so he of course will already have probably a better idea than anyone about what the next level of English youth are like coming through. Although of course, with the players that we've got now, they are a lot of them would qualify to play in those youth teams. So what we need, I think, is a manager who's going to develop the young players that we've got and bring them along as they reach maturity and become the sort of elder statesman of the squad. Because, you know, we talk about the scars and the emotional baggage that the old English team had, and all the talk pre-tournament was, well, this new young side haven't got any of that. But of course, that was a massive, massive scar last night, one of the most embarrassing defeats in tournament history. So we need a manager going forward who is going to be able to bring the players along like that. And of course, he has had the experience with the under-21, so I can see why he's been heavily backed in the market. But I think, as you said there, he wouldn't be the most inspiring of choice. And then, of course, there'd be the other option for the FA, which would follow the pattern in recent years of going sort of foreign English. So we went Peter Taylor, Sven-Göran Eriksson, Steve McLaren, Capello, Hodgson. I know Stuart
They'll
Pearce.
Get it right one day, won't they?
Yeah, exactly. So if they were to head in that direction and look for a foreign manager, if you think they'll follow the pattern, you're getting quite a big price about pretty much all the foreign managers in that market. Just heard outside a moment ago, Ollie Pimlott mentioned Slaven Bilic, and that would be, in my view,
he'd be fantastic. He's 25-1, but is Slaven Bilic going to leave West Ham to go and manage the England national side? It's one of those where I see a lot of possibilities at big prices, but names at big prices. But I'm trying to work out which one of those managers would even think about taking the job at England, and I'm not sure many of them would. I don't see Slaven Bilic taking it. I don't see Alex Ferguson, Mauricio Pochettino taking it. Rafa Benitez. Arsene Wenger, 33-1. Is his time at Arsenal coming to an end? He would surely have the respect of the players, and he's been managing the Premier League for such a long time. He will know each of the players' strengths and weaknesses as well. I think what we've had with England managers is people are out of touch. Maybe Wenger's a little bit out of touch now if you're comparing him to Hodgson. But Hodgson just didn't... There was just no clue. There was just no clue whatsoever. He wanted to play with wingers but didn't have the personnel to do so. So he played players out of position. And last night, took Dyer off at half-time. Dyer was at fault for the second goal. But he left it till 5 minutes from the end to bring Marcus Rashford on. It made no sense. We need a manager that understands things tactically, that's had experience in the Premier League, and that can take the national side forward. And I'm worried about all those names at the top of that list.
Precisely. And I think what I'd like to see is a manager who is more than capable to adapt and play with different kinds of systems in sort of a fluid manner, such as the Germans do, because it's almost as if Roy Hodgson's read a book on 4-2-3-1 and that book has told him that is the formation.
Yeah.
And then he's thought, right, I'm gonna pick my 23 players for the squad. I'm gonna take one winger because all the wingers are rubbish. Walcott not good enough. Townsend not good enough, etc., etc., etc. I'm going to take no wingers, but I'm still going to play my 4-2-3-1. It doesn't make any sense for us to be doing it like that. So you want a manager who can develop and change his systems and play sort of in different formations and different styles with different personnel.
I won't be happy with Gareth Southgate at 6-4. Glenn Hoddle at 4-1, I think, is a bit of a joke price.
Yeah, I agree.
And Alan Shearer at 8-1, not proven, not done anything in management. Eddie Howe, 8-1.
He'd be the one of the market principals that would interest me. It's probably going to come a little bit too early. Yes. In his career to be given a job of this magnitude. But as you said, if you were looking to bet on this market, there's no real value in Southgate there. And I think that the English public are crying out for the FA to make a more inspiring choice than Gareth Southgate. Having watched Glenn Hoddle manage my club team, arguably the most dour football I've ever seen, and that includes a relegation season under Dean Saunders, but the football under Glenn Hoddle was not great. I know he did have a tremendous win percentage when he was last at England. Think over 60%, only bettered by Sir Ralph Ramsey and Fabio Capello. But obviously when he was last in charge of England, I know it was a long time ago, but it was about him a little bit too much, wasn't it, with the omission of Paul Gascoigne and the introduction of a faith healer into the squad.
Yeah.
Is it going to be about him again? Because that isn't really ideal. Shearer, as you say there, I heard him mention last night on the BBC that he'd be interested if the FA would approach him. And I did kind of think on the basis of what, precisely? A few games with Newcastle United at the end of a season that was doomed for relegation anyway. I don't know why on earth you'd want to approach Alan Shearer. So I wouldn't touch Shearer with a barge pole in terms of having a bet in that market. I do think Eddie Howe is the pick of the value amongst those market principals, and then maybe have a couple of pound on those at bigger prices, foreign managers, if the FA do follow their pattern.
I think we'll see massive changes in this market over the course of the next few days. I don't know about the England team needing a faith healer, but I certainly need one right now. Do have a look at the next permanent England manager on the William Hill website. Dave Kellner and Sam Norris signing off, handing back over to the InPlay Radio team now. Check out all the betting on the William Hill website by going to sports.williamhill.com and clicking on the football tab.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.